Hello, welcome to EDF Action Campaign Academy. We are here today with Robbie Mook, who is a veteran of the Clinton campaign and many, many other campaigns. And we're going to talk today a little bit about digital security and how to make sure your campaign is safe.
Sure thing. Well, thank you. And it's a real pleasure to be with you all today. I'm really glad that EDF has taken the time to talk about this as an issue, and hopefully it can be helpful. I want to first make a caveat that I am not a cybersecurity expert. I'm a campaign person, just like you. Typically, my organization, Defending Digital Democracy, has somebody who is a cyber expert make these sorts of presentations. But I actually think this is going to work great today because I'm told that most of you are part of small campaigns or campaigns that are just getting started. And the things that we're going to recommend are either free or very low cost and really simple. And so that's actually a great note to open up on. The project that I'm a part of, Defending Digital Democracy, was set up precisely for campaigns like yours. So coming out of the 2016 election, where we obviously had some cybersecurity issues come up, it was apparent to me and to other people that there just weren't good tools or resources for campaigns to protect themselves against cyber incidences and attacks. The Defending Digital Democracy Project is a project of Harvard University's Belfer Center. It's co-directed by myself, Matt Rhodes, who ran Mitt Romney's campaign for president, and Eric Rosenbach, who's a former chief of staff at the Department of Defense under the Obama administration. It is a bipartisan project. So we wanted to provide practical tools to campaigns, but we also wanted to do this in a bipartisan way because we think that both parties are vulnerable and that Americans should decide our elections, not foreign governments or malicious hackers. So above everything else, we are patriots and we're here to help all campaigns regardless of parties. We've had technical experts from the private sector, government, national security, and campaigns come together to do this project. So let's get right off to the races. I talked a little bit about what we do. That's providing practical tools for campaigns like yourselves. The most important tool that we have is the Campaign Cybersecurity Playbook. We just released a new version of it literally a few days ago. You can download it at belfercenter.org/cyberplaybook, or you can just Google Belfer Center Cyber Playbook. It is in PDF, it is online, it is free, and it's available to anyone. I really encourage you to print it out or save it as a PDF and just take some time to read it on a weekend or a Friday afternoon or evening when you don't have anything better to do because you're on a campaign, you know how that goes. But I think you'll find some stuff in there that we may gloss over quickly in this presentation. So just really quickly, it's helpful to understand. You are probably saying to yourself right now, I'm a small congressional race or Senate race or maybe even a local race. You know, cybersecurity is not really a big deal for me. I'm a small campaign. Nobody's going to hack into me. And really the opposite is true. In fact, in 2016, some of the worst attacks that we saw were against candidates for the House of Representatives. Their opposition research books were stolen from the DCCC and given out to reporters. The other thing is, if you think you're a foreign government, you're trying to be really strategic and manipulate or influence American politics for the long term, you're going to hack into smaller campaigns, right? Scoop up a bunch of information now, and then it's up to you when to use it. So to play safe, just assume that you're a target, okay? And assume that you personally are a target. As a campaign operative, hopefully you're going to go on and run a presidential campaign or run other really high-profile campaigns. Wouldn't be a bad thing for somebody to steal all of your information and release it later. So protect yourself, protect your campaign, protect your candidate. Everything I talk about today applies to your candidate, their spouse, and their kids as well. So just keep that in mind. You should sit with your candidate and their family at some point, or someone should, and go through all their email and social media accounts, make sure that they're locked up tight. So we'll talk about some ways to do that. The one thing to just acknowledge up front is you are part of a really soft target environment. What do we mean by that? You're a campaign, you've got a lot going on, you don't have full-time cybersecurity support, you're doing things on the fly, people are working in a really distributed way, they're, you know, all over your district or your state, and you're onboarding and offboarding people really frequently. And most importantly, you don't have the resources to invest in, you know, fancy cybersecurity software. You don't have somebody who's been working at your campaign for 10 years and their specialty is protecting your campaign. So you're a soft target, okay? It's not a reason to panic, but again, know that there are people who want to target you and know that you're a soft target, which is why you should do the steps that we're going to recommend. So let's get to those. There, if you download our playbook, there are five things that we recommend. So if there's anything you take away from this presentation, I want you to focus on these five things. And even within that, there's some that I'm going to underscore. The first thing is, as a leader on the campaign, you have to set the tone and make cybersecurity part of the culture, okay? You train your staff not to go talk to reporters all the, you know, willy-nilly. You train your staff, if somebody sketchy shows up in the campaign, starts asking a lot of questions, you don't really know what they're up to, you know, to flag that. Same with cybersecurity. People should be really careful what they're doing with their passwords. They shouldn't be, you know, opening up their, you know, your polling on a computer in the library. They should be careful about what they delete and what they keep. They should be careful about what they give people access to, okay? The same way we just talked through, your campaign's a target. It's a soft target. And you need to take responsibility for protecting it. You got to have that same talk with your staff, okay? Let's talk specifically about some of the things that you can do. First of all, use cloud-based storage or a cloud-based office suite, okay? You probably, most of you are already doing this because you don't have servers in your campaign office, okay? It's not like, it's not, you know, 1995 or whatever. So most of you are using G Suite, Office 365. If you're using those, awesome. You're in great shape. If some person is installing a server in your office, that's weird just to begin with. But second of all, I wouldn't recommend going that path because then you have to protect that server. If you're using these big cloud-based platforms from Google, Microsoft, or somebody else, it's their job to protect it. And you want experts protecting your stuff, not putting that burden on your shoulders. Secondly, on your email or anything else, on your Twitter, on your Facebook, any of your accounts, use a second factor authentication. This is probably the most important thing you can do. Almost all the problems that were experienced in 2016 and some of the problems we're seeing in 2018 were the result of people not having two-factor authentication, okay? What that is when you enter your password and you want to have long, strong passwords, okay? But when you enter that password, you're going to get a text message to your phone or you're going to use a key. I'll show you mine. And that is a second thing that you need to get into your account. So if somebody steals your password, they still can't get into your account because they don't have this second thing. So another way to do it is I got this little USB key. You just put it in your USB drive. This is safer than getting something on your cell phone because if they get into your cell phone, they can intercept that text message that has the code. This is literally a physical key on my keychain. You can't get it unless you steal my keychain, okay? Don't stress if you're only using your phone, but it's safer to use this. And it's a YubiKey. YUBI. If you just search that on Amazon, you can buy one of these, but they cost like $40. That's too expensive for some campaigns. In that case, use the cell phone. The next piece is if something is important and you don't want it to get stolen, keep it off of email. For some of your campaigns, that means just printing stuff out and then deleting the email, okay? Another way to do it is use Wickr or Signal. They're encrypted messaging services. You can do calls, you can send messages and documents. They are both free. There's a version of Wickr that some of the campaign committees are making available basically for free that's a lot more sophisticated than the free version. But either way, they are encrypted. That means if somebody intercepts it, and they won't have a special code to unlock it, okay? So polls, strategy memos, sensitive family stuff, get your candidate and their spouse chatting over Wickr or Signal so that bad guys can't steal that stuff because, you know, it's private family things. They don't want it out there. The last thing I'm not going to spend too much time on, but to the degree possible, identify who's the lawyer you're going to call and who's the cybersecurity firm you're going to call if you have a problem. I'm going to leave it at that. That's probably as much as you'll be able to do. But if something happens, just know who you're going to reach out to. Couple things to touch on in terms of creating that security culture. First of all, just encourage your staff to follow basic security things like don't leave their phone around, don't leave their computer out where someone can get on it, and have a conversation with your staff about phishing. Those are the emails where a bad guy sends a message to you or somebody on your campaign and says, hey, your account's been hacked, click here and enter your credentials. That's not Google sending that. That is a bad person who wants to steal your password and you just gave it to them. So just as a baseline, like have that conversation every week or two with your staff. Hey folks, if you don't click on links, if it's coming into your campaign account, don't click on links. The other thing to talk to your staff about is all the things we talked about, that second factor authentication, use it on your campaign, email and social media, use it on your personal. Think about 2016. They didn't break into the campaign, they broke into people's personal accounts. So everything we're talking about for campaign, do it on the personal, do it with the candidate and their family. One thing I would say is if you're using G Suite or Microsoft 365 and you're storing documents in those, that's good to do that. Be deliberate about who can access what. So don't let every campaign staffer access everything. Be really careful about who you're sharing things with. So if somebody's email is broken into, the bad guys can't access everything in the whole campaign. Devices. Okay, this is important. If you are a small, new campaign, okay, you got a lot going on. You're going to get everybody two-factor. You're going to get everybody really paranoid about phishing. You are also going to mandate that people always update their operating systems on their phones and on their computers. All right. This is what I do on my phone. I get an alert. There's an operating system update. If you've got like five staff on your campaign, you see that operating system update on your iPhone or Android, tell people in the morning meeting, update your phones today. Just get it done. And then you can follow up the next day. But this is literally just like two-factor. It's one of the most important things you can do. Okay, next one. And again, all this stuff is in the playbook, so you can spend more time reading it later. Really quick thing, if you have Wi-Fi at your office, set up a guest account so that if a guest or a volunteer comes in, they're not getting on the Wi-Fi that the staff are using. Really simple thing, could actually make a really big difference. And then I think we should be done. Oh, information operations. Okay, you're a small campaign, you don't have a million staff, and so I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this. But a lot of people have been asking, you know, fake news, information operations, what do you do? A few things out there, a few things that you can do that can potentially help make a difference. The first is try to know what's going on. So if you're a small campaign, one thing you could do is tell all your volunteers. If you see something funny or negative on social media, let us know. Just forward it to us. You could even have social media at and your URL address.com, something like that. Really simple. That's a way for you to just monitor what's going on. If you really want to get sophisticated, you can set up some Facebook pages that profile the kind of voters you care about and then monitor what's coming in on that. That's getting a little bit more complicated for you as an organization. But set up some system, even just your staff, to monitor what's going on in social media. That matters. And hopefully that way you're going to pick up if something really bad is out there. Second, establish contact with the social media companies. If you're a congressional race, talk to your national committee. If you're a state legislative race, talk to your state party. Find out who's the person you're supposed to connect with at the social media platforms. If you see bad accounts posting false or misleading information, okay? And then the last thing I'll say is information operations are a communications problem. If there's false information out there, it's up to you as a campaign to decide whether you want to weigh in and say something about it, maybe retweet it and say this is false. That's a decision you and your team have to make, okay? Just sort of separate that. It's not a cybersecurity question, it's a communications question. Okay, we're not spending a lot of time on this because it can get really complex. I think as long as you're monitoring the social media environment as best you can, when you see fake information, you're making a decision with your team about whether to respond or not. That's probably the best you can do for right now. We're at the end, so we'll do questions.
So thank you so much, Robbie. That was super helpful.
It's my pleasure. We sped through.
Yeah. So here's a question I have.
Yeah.
How scared should we all be of the Russians?
The answer to this question is you should be scared of bad people trying to hack into your campaign. Okay. So we know that the Russians were obviously a problem for the campaign I managed, Hillary Clinton's campaign. But if you're a Republican campaign, you know, maybe the Iranians are going to try to retaliate for President Trump leaving the nuclear arms deal, for example, right? We just don't know. And then the other thing is, you know, we're here at the Environmental Defense Fund. Maybe there are people who are angry at pro-environment candidates right here in the United States, and they just decide to hack in, or somebody who wants to show off. We just don't know. The point is, be paranoid. It's your career. It's your candidate's career. And it is our democracy, frankly. All of you guys are on the front lines of protecting our democracy. So take those five steps we recommend. Put on that second factor. Educate your staff. Make them aware. Use encrypted communications for really sensitive stuff. And know who to call if you think something bad happened. If you do those things, you're reducing your risk by like 90%, okay?
All right. So is there any commonality between the types of groups who are attacked? Between the different organizations?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's not. And again, there's so many different people who can attack you that what I've been telling people is don't try to be a national security expert, and don't try to be a cybersecurity expert. You're just not going to be. You know, we're not good at cybersecurity. But the steps I just outlined are basically free. I mean, if you're using those office suites like G Suite or Office 365, that's going to cost $5 a month per staffer. But you're paying that anyway, probably. Almost all campaigns use these technologies now. So aside from that, everything I just said is free. And just do those things, monitor for those updates, and you're doing basically everything you can do. At that point, you're really relying on Google and Microsoft and our national security professionals to protect you. And that's what we hire them to do.
Great. Okay. So groups, Project Veritas is a kind of group that has been known to infiltrate organizations like mine and campaigns. Do you have any recommendations for an events manager or the HR process to make sure you're not bringing in a dirty trickster?
I'm so glad you asked this, actually. This is such a great question because Project Veritas comes in and they hide microphones or cameras and try to trap you breaking the law. The same thing can happen with cybersecurity, right? You could hire an intern who puts some malware in your computer or who tries to get access to your documents, right? So for when I talked about not granting access to everyone for everything, your intern shouldn't have access to your sensitive documents, right? This is, again, the things you need to think about. So there are two things I would recommend to staff or to campaign leaders on this. And we did both of these things on the Clinton campaign when I was there. We were very much dealing with Project Veritas. One, again, I'll underscore it, set the culture, make your staff paranoid. It's good and healthy for your organization when your staff are really sensitive about their digital security and their digital equipment, okay? Secondly, make them paranoid about sketchy people, all right? You're probably going to make them a little too paranoid, but that's a really good thing. If somebody comes in and starts asking questions that just seem like unnecessary, you know, your antennas should go up and you should be really careful about what you say. If someone's asking you to break the law, but like just a little bit, and it's not, you know, it's not really that bad, never break the law. You know, train your staff on this. If somebody says, hey, I'm from Canada and I love your candidate and I'm just so committed to the cause and like, here's some Canadian money, like I just want to do my part, I'm just such a good person, that's illegal. Say no. It's really easy. They'll try to pressure you. They'll try to guilt you, okay? So just train your, like, have that conversation every 2 weeks with your staff. I promise it will make a world of difference. We started doing this routinely on the Clinton campaign, and we had, you know, Veritas try probably 50 times more than they succeeded, right? And it made a big difference. It was all cultural. There's no magic solution. There's no consultant. It's you training your staff to be paranoid.
Trevor, do you have some questions you want to follow up with?
Great. How do you manage data security on a smaller campaign with a few staff and not necessarily like a massive scale campaign like the Clinton campaign in 2016?
Yeah, so first of all, the cybersecurity playbook that we put together, it's free, you can download it, and it's written at my level, which is probably the same as your level. where you do not have to be an expert to understand that document, okay? And if you're really small, and I've run these campaigns, you know, you're two people, you're five people, you're 10 people, you personally can implement those top five things. You can sit with your staff and make sure they put in that, require that second factor authentication. You personally can sit with your candidate, make sure their passwords are strong and they have a second factor authentication. You personally can watch for system updates and tell your staff to do them. So take responsibility for the problem and don't be intimidated. If you use our playbook, it will walk you through the things you need to do. And it's, you know, it's 30 pages, so there's a lot in there. I again would just counsel you, follow those top five things. If you're doing those, you're probably going to be okay. And the last thing I'll say is the number one recommendation we have is setting the tone. If you set a culture of being paranoid about these issues, it will make a difference. Okay. I cannot tell you enough. Don't downplay cybersecurity and don't project to your staff that, oh, well, I don't know how to do that and it's all crazy and technical. What you should project to your staff is it gets crazy and technical, but the things that we need to hold ourselves responsible for doing are really easy and we're all going to do them. Just the same way we don't talk to the press, you know, without thinking about it. We don't do sloppy, you know, we don't do a sloppy training with our volunteers. And when somebody sketchy is asking us to do something illegal, we don't do it. Okay. This is just like those things. You know how to train your staff on those things. You can train them on these things too.
And I think I just have one last question. So what would, how should you handle, or how should a campaign handle if like an allied organization or a partner was hacked that might have information about you?
Yeah, so this is, again, a really good reason. Let's say you're working with, EDF has you have a political arm, don't you? Right. So if you're working with EDF's political arm and you want to share something sensitive, send it through one of those encrypted messaging apps, right? Wickr or Signal. Okay. So don't even give those organizations the chance to store something that potentially could be really bad for you if it gets taken. Okay. So that's thing number one. And that goes for everything. That goes for, again, your candidate and their kids and their spouse, the chats they're having, your chats with your candidate. Just get it on an encrypted system and its chance of getting hacked goes way, way down. The second is, call someone who knows how to deal with these things. So when I talked about having a lawyer and a cybersecurity firm, just call someone who knows what they're doing before you choose to weigh in and communicate. Let's use a worst case example. Let's say your campaign did an event with the vice president, okay, with the DNC or the RNC, all right? And you collected a bunch of your donors' social security numbers and dates of birth, all right? That's a serious legal situation. There are reporting requirements that organizations have if people's sensitive information got stolen. So that's why, like, don't think you have to solve that problem. Call a lawyer and call a firm that's experienced in this and get like real professional help at that point. But again, I will underscore the best way to avoid being someone who has a problem in that situation is to have kept stuff off email to begin with.
I don't think final kind of thoughts. Is this going to be our dirty tricks and hacking? Is this going to be standard issue? Is this going to be a thing for campaigns to think about forever?
Yeah, 100%. Back in the day when social media first became a thing, we realized that our staff can't just get on social media and give out the campaign secrets and talk about their personal life. That's probably not a smart idea. So this is just another thing that you as a campaign professional need to think about and need to take responsibility for. That's the most important thing. And again, I want to underline, I'm not arguing you obsess about it every day. I'm not telling you to prioritize cybersecurity over, you know, having a campaign message, raising money, doing really good organizing work, doing your politics. Those are the things you're good at. and you need to take responsibility for. But there's other little things you have nowadays, like sexual harassment policy, right? The physical safety of your campaign staff, preventing drunk driving on your campaign. These are just things that you're not an expert at, but there are basic, simple steps you follow to prevent them. And cybersecurity is one of those now. And the playbook that we've produced, it was written for you. It was written so that you could understand it. I could understand it because I'm not a cybersecurity expert. And if you just take a little bit of time to give this consideration, give consideration to dirty trick groups that are potentially going in with cameras and microphones, I promise you, you set that culture, you're going to make an enormous difference. The things that happened in 2016 could have been prevented. Everything that happened with Project Veritas could have been prevented. And you can prevent these things too if you just take responsibility and take a little bit of time.
Thank you so much for coming, Robbie.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.